Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Monday Show, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Located on Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. It's great to have you with us. And I'm at the Chateau, the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilscher's General Store Hotline, open, as always, at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilscher's General Store. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. And, of course, don't forget they're located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. All right. Final Four is now set. Kevin and I are going to break that down for you and get into the nuts and bolts of the Final Four. Later in the week, Dick Girardi, my broadcast partner, will join me. We'll talk about it. And also, we'll talk with David Jones, Harrisburg Patriot News, later in the week as well on the Final Four. So we have a lot to talk about. Also, we're going to jump in and talk also with Gary Dolphin, the play-by-play voice of Iowa basketball, because they're in the NIT Final Four against Maryland tomorrow night. So we have that. Phillies and Braves, it's the opener tonight. Baseball season underway. Began with the Astros and Rangers last night, but now it's really underway for all the fans in our area tonight with Cole Hamels on the mound when the Phils take on the Braves. We'll talk about our predictions for the upcoming season. And plus, the first of a 10-part series that Kevin has on Kent Graham, Steeler quarterback. First, above the noise, here's Dan Patrick.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home. You take out a policy and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PurdyInsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Well, it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the all-ball game.
That's right, the Final Four is this week.
Wow, you really know how to blow a hole open, don't you? You blew it all up right there.
Well, let's get you up to date on all the scores. Phillies and Braves play tonight. Tim Hudson against Cole Hamels. And that one, as you pointed out last week, Ben Rivera should lead off. He is going to lead off.
I'm happy about that.
I will be, too, once he does something.
I'm just happy. I just think it makes sense. I mean.
Sure does.
I mean, I would imagine he's going to steal more bases than Jimmy Rollins is just because of the difference in the age.
And the Cubs scored 2 runs in the first inning. They lead the Pirates behind Jeff Smarja, 2-0 bottom of the fifth. Top of the fourth, Colorado leads Milwaukee 2-1 at Miller Park. And 4 at City Field. And the Mets lead the Padres 7-2. Top of the ninth inning, Bryce Harper's hit 2 home runs. And the Nationals lead Miami 2-0.
I don't have him on my fantasy team either.
And in the American League, the Yankees and Red Sox at the Bronx. The Red Sox lead the Yankees in the bottom half of the sixth inning, 4-2 behind John Lester. CC Sabathia has been knocked out.
Is that the debut of the Flying Hawaiian in a...
Shane Victorino.
Yeah, in a Sox
uniform. Red Sox uniform. Shane Victorino is starting today for the Red Sox, I believe, in right field. So
that's weird. I mean, seeing him in center field all those years is weird to see him right.
Well, that's what happens when the team you go to is Jacoby Ellsbury.
I'm just saying it seems weird that he's in right. I understand it.
What happens when you have Jacoby Ellsbury.
Okay. I get it.
If Jacoby Ellsbury plays for the Phillies, Shane Victorino's playing right field.
He's
a better player.
I get it.
Victorino's 1-for-4 today. He's knocked in 2 of the runs.
Ortiz says he's feeling better. The injured heels are feeling better.
Yeah. So. Yeah, Victorino has knocked in a pair of runs in this game.
Good for him. I always like Shane Victorino.
No, I think he's a good addition for them.
I always like Shane Victorino. He's one of those guys that, you know, you just feel you get your money's worth out of him every single game.
Yeah. Well, no, he'll play hard for them. I mean, it's fine. The Phillies will open up tonight. Working on getting Chris Wheeler for Wednesday. How about that?
Wednesday Wheels Day.
Tomorrow, Matt Shepard with us live, 3:15 tomorrow, play-by-play voice of Michigan basketball. Dick Girardi confirmed as well. Also working on Gary Dolphin. I sent Dolphin a text today. I'll read you exactly the text I sent him. I said, sorry to interrupt your lunch at 21.
Okay.
I did. He texted back, you're a jerk.
Yeah, I can imagine. I would like to meet, though, talking about basketball. I want to meet the person that has Louisville, Wichita State, Michigan, and Syracuse in the Final Four.
Is there someone?
That's my point. I don't know that there is, but if they are, they should be playing Powerball.
Well, first of all, 3 of the 4 make complete sense. There is you could have made an argument at any time during certain points of the season that Syracuse looked like a Final Four team, correct?
Yeah, you could. I just didn't think that.
No, you could. No. I'm talking about, you know, December, January into February. There are a lot of people before they hit that skid that they thought Syracuse could be a Final Four team. Michigan certainly has been talked about as a Final Four team all year. They were ranked number 1 in the country at one stage.
Yes. Louisville's a no-brainer.
And Louisville, of course. Wichita State, nobody had.
No.
I don't even think Greg Marshall's family had him in the Final Four.
That one surprised me.
Well, surprised everybody. But Dick was at the game. Dick was at the LaSalle Wichita game. And I talked to him. He said, Steve, Wichita is much more athletic in person than people realize, and their fundamentals are great. I mean, I had Wichita in the tournament on my bracket, making it to, I'm trying to think matchups here. I had him knocking off Gonzaga. I did not have him in the Elite Eight.
No.
But I had them in the Sweet 16 because I had him beating Gonzaga. And I've always liked Greg Marshall. I remember the NIT run he made a couple of years ago. It was very impressive.
How many of the 4 do you have left?
Oh, I just have Louisville.
Yeah, that's all. Indiana. Yeah. Really hurt.
Yeah, that's all I have. But, I mean, Trey Burke, I'm happy for him because, look, here's a guy that against Ohio State in Columbus had a shot to win it, missed it. Had the 1+1 against Indiana where if he makes both free throws, he puts the game away. Instead, he missed the front end. Indiana came down and won it. Then he goes out against Kansas the other night and he launches that 30-footer from the Walmart across the street from the stadium. There's a Walmart across the street from
me. Now you sound like me.
Well, no, but there's a Walmart across the street from Cowboys Stadium.
I know. I'm always using landmarks, though, for long threes. So. Right.
And he knocks that one down, then is great in overtime. And people forget, when Michigan was recruiting, Mitch McGarry was actually, we could talk about Glenn Robinson III, we can talk about Stauskas, Spike Albrecht. McGarry was the Pied Piper that they felt they had to get. He was like the number one guy on their board. And now he's playing like the number one guy on their board. And he's been fabulous, really starting with the Penn State game when he had the double-double in the Big Ten tournament. He was the difference maker. I mean, Penn State's up and they're down and out in that opening round game. And then McGarry comes up with the first half double-double and put them in front at the break, and then they won in the second half. I mean, that was a game for 28 minutes, and then after that ceased to be a game, they just put it away and clobbered them. But they're playing really well, and they will attack a 2-3 zone well. They will not do this like Indiana. And Rick Pitino, the superiority of his coaching is just remarkable. You saw in the Big East Championship game, changes the game plan in the second half. In the second half, they go high-low post, especially with Jang at the high, kicking out and for open threes and killing it. Yesterday, he calls the timeout when it's, what, 44-42? And he told them, take it and ram it to the basket. Because Duke does not, as and I pointed out this last week, what did I say about Duke's quickness? Duke doesn't have the foot speed. And they just took it and rammed it right down their throat, and they just scored repeatedly, and they blew them out. They blew them out. I want to give CBS a lot of credit for not showing the Kevin Ware injury repeatedly.
I thought they handled it very, very classy.
Can't handle it any better than that.
I mean, I think you have to show it once, and then they kind of realized it on the different on the second angle, and that was the end of it.
They said, that's it, we're done. And that was the right move, the classy move, the correct move to make. You had Jim Nance and Clark Kellogg, they could, and then that one report Tracy Wolfson did, that can tell everybody what the diagnosis on the sideline happened to be.
I mean, raise your hand if you were like me and you instantly flash back to Theismann.
Oh, I'm sure they did. I was asked in my class today, what's the toughest injury I ever broadcast? And I that was a no-brainer. I mean, that's easy, the easy question. I was on the air when Adam Talaferro got hurt.
I was going to say Adam would be the one that I would think of.
Yeah. I said the difference between Adam Talaferro and Kevin Ware is Kevin Ware will come back and walk from this.
Right. He'll come back and play, they're saying now.
Right. Oh, sure, he'll come back and play. He'll have they did the surgery, and I know the surgery because they had to do this with my son Mike when he played high school football. Mike broke his femur, and they had to countersink and put a rod down the center of the bone. So Mike has a rod in his leg, in his right leg. They did the same thing with him. They went and inserted a rod in Kevin Ware's leg, and the rehab will take him probably about 6 months.
Wow. I that just seems like a short amount of time to me.
It is really a short amount. Well, no, but they do a great job with rehab. Now, with Adam Talaferro, you didn't know. You knew he was never going to play again. The question is whether he was going to walk. So it was a completely different injury. Completely different. And when it happened, I didn't know. You know, Jack and I didn't know. We knew it was serious, and we knew he wasn't moving. How about that? And then, of course, the concern on everyone etched around, they're all on the knees. You could tell it was really bad. And we were on the air, I don't know, maybe a little more than 20 minutes during this. I've only heard it one time. I've only heard what we did one time, and it was only in bits and pieces. That Thanksgiving, Georgia played Georgia Tech, and I was home, and I was watching the game. And they said they were going to do a piece on Adam Talaferro at halftime, which they did. I thought, well, I want to watch this because I want to see what they do. And I mean, guy had a pretty good idea how he was doing because I was getting updates literally every week from Joe and from Joe Sarah. And the and when they did it, they used like five or six different times what Jack and I said. That's the only time I've ever heard it.
I interviewed him, I think it was about a year later. down in the Allentown area. He was doing an appearance at a little fundraiser and everything. And boy, I'll tell you what, for someone who had, you know, who could arguably not need to be optimistic, I mean, he was. He was very optimistic. I mean, you didn't feel pessimism in one bit of anything he had to say.
Well, you ever see the thumb on his one hand?
No.
Kind of looks. It doesn't really, it doesn't move very well.
Well,
there's a reason for that. There's one thumb that doesn't move well because he broke his thumb in the preseason tackling Eric McCoo. Okay. And he had a cast on. They had the cast taken off that week. He never had a chance to rehab it.
Wow.
That's why. But that was the longest. That 20 minutes felt like 20 days.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Monday. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, key routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilscher's General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove, routes 11 to 15. Dave in Sunbury. Hi, Dave.
How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Okay. Yesterday when I was in the foyer at the church, two teenage boys were watching a video, you know, about that injury.
Mm-hmm.
The Louisville player. And the one said to the other one, says, shut it up. That's the grimmest injury I've ever seen. And my mind ran back to Adam laying there in the center of Ohio State's field.
Sure.
And then the medical staffs, both of Ohio State and Penn State, and what they were able to do with him.
Well, I mean, what they did, Dr. Wayne Sebastianelli was one of the first people out there. Essentially, he saved his life because he said the first thing he said was, do not move him. Don't move him at all. Just doing that saved him, and they were able to prep him, get him on the board. George Salvatore did a great job. And then the Ohio State University Medical Center staff did a tremendous job in the first couple of weeks of his treatment before eventually he was transferred. I think he was transferred to the Hahnemann, if I remember, down in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. I told you I was that trip down to Sight and Sound.
Yeah?
I brought a program along. I'm sending to you.
Okay.
From that NOAA.
Okay.
You know, I was just saying, how was your Easter?
My Easter was excellent, as a matter of fact. We had a great time, great day. We invited Kevin. He was a no-show. But his,
right. Yeah, that's what happened.
Wife and kids showed up. And, they seem very happy to, you know.
Well, there's a restaurant down there next to it. I think it's called Hershey. Its name's Hershey, but I don't know if it's. I just said, you know, I was having my respiratory problem when I got there, so we went up the elevator to the top floor and just sat up there and watched it from up top.
Yeah.
But I said, you know, I'll send that down to you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
And, you know, I'll shut my mouth, listen, and see what you got to say the rest of the program.
Okay. A lot of people want me to shut my mouth, and then they will sit back and listen to the rest of the program.
How or your site get there?
Yeah, that list is way too long to get into.
Thanks,
okay,
Dave.
Bye for now.
Take care.
Appreciate it. We had a question online about Brian wanting to know about Jason Harris of Rutgers, and I do not recall the injury at all. I do not recall the injury.
And we were talking about it, and I kind of...
I don't remember.
I don't remember when it was. I mean, I know I can't remember when I remember hearing about it, but I don't remember anything more about it.
No, I don't recall it at all. So, Brian, I'm sorry. I don't recall it. Baseball update for you. The Cubs have extended their lead to 3-0 over the Pirates. Mets leads Padres 7-2, bottom of the seventh. Colorado leads Milwaukee 3-1, top of the fifth. Two home runs by Bryce Harper today, and the Nationals open the season by beating the Marlins 2-0 as Steven Strasburg got the win. And you can tell that it's a little different this year. He went 7 innings instead of 6. And Soriano closed it out. But, you know, he goes 7. Clippard goes just 1. Soriano closes. Guess what? Bullpen intact for tomorrow. But Bryce Harper had 2 home runs today. And Strasburg went 7 innings, a 3-hit ball, struck out 3, didn't walk a batter. In the American League, the Red Sox are threatening for more. They're at runners of the corners in the top of the seventh and lead the Yankees 4-2. They're going to have to pull John Lester, though. I think he's done after going 6 innings. I think he's over 100 pitches now. So they will have to make that move. In fact, Lester is out. Lester threw 96 pitches. Lester, done.
Gone.
Struck out 7, walked 2. CC went 5 innings, 8 hits, 4 runs all earned, struck out 5, walked 4. Threw 102 pitches.
Not good.
So there you are. It's the opener. And tonight the Braves take on the Phillies. Cole Hamels and Tim Hudson will be the starters tonight. But yes, it was interesting. Somebody in the class asked me, what's the toughest one you've done? I said, well, that's easy. They went, oh. You know, I mean, like everybody else, have done ACLs and things like that, you know. And some more brutal than others. I mean, Jarrett Stevens' ACL was brutal, the way it happened to him. Larry Brown at Georgia rammed him into the standard at Madison Square Garden in the semifinal game in 98. I think that kept Penn State from winning the NIT that year. Because he couldn't play in the championship game. They lost to Minnesota. And Minnesota was then declared ineligible because they had a little scandal. But it, you know, and then some are very innocuous. And, you know, the Mahdi one this past year, I mean, when you saw the tape, you went, oh, you knew he hurt his knee. How extensively, he didn't realize. But the Adam Talaferro one easily is the one. Looks like Tubby Smith's going to get hired at Texas Tech. How about Steve Alford getting hired at UCLA? He just committed to a 10-year deal with New Mexico. I don't know if he'd signed it, but he just verbally agreed to a 10-year contract with New Mexico. 48 hours later, he's head coach at UCLA. My question with Alford is this. I think he's capable of only bringing you so far. But you know what? This tournament is really tough. Mets just tacked on 4 more, by the way. They're up 11-2, bottom of the seventh at City.
The Mets scoring runs.
Yeah. It's opening day. Don't get too. Okay. I try not to get too high or too low on opening day. Okay. I mean, the Red Sox is.
Listen, in some teams, this will be the highlight of the season, though.
Look, you don't know. Okay? You don't know. Things, you know, it may be the highlight of the season, and out of record, and another, it may be, you know, team hangs in a lot longer than you realize. You don't know. But the Mets have 13 hits in the game today. Buck, the catcher, I like him a lot. He's got a couple of hits. Tejada's got a couple of hits. Murphy's got 2 hits. David Wright has a hit. So, yeah, I mean, facing San Diego, and the win counts. So, I mean, they're up 11-2. But
I like to let it play out and breathe for a little bit. Spring training tells you nothing. Early season games do count. And a great misnomer is, oh, don't worry about April, May, really. I mean, once the season really starts after Memorial Day. Really? 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 Because most of the races I see, you accumulate all these wins in April and May, and they put you in a spot so that in the summer you're contending. I rarely see bad starts turn into great years. Do any of you? Who's had bad starts that turned into a great year?
Oh, I have to think. I'm sure.
Hard. No, it doesn't. It rarely happens. You usually have to get out to a decent start. No, but you're talking about the Mets. The Mets hung in there around a 500 team, and then finally they caught fire and won. You came back from games under 500.
You mean like having just an awful start?
Well, yeah. I mean,
okay.
500's not a bad start. 500 keeps you in the mix.
That's true.
If you're 500 on Memorial Day, you're okay. You know, plus or minus a couple of games, you're fine. At that stage, that's not a problem. It's the ones that are 10, 12 games under 500 on Memorial Day. I'm sorry, you're not going to win. Teams are just like, oh, we're back. I mean, that's what I tried to say about the Phillies last year. Boom, you're not going to be just back. Hey, we got everybody back. We're going to win. No, you're not going to win. So you do have to get off to a good start. There's something to be said for that.
Get out to a good start, or it's fire sale come July.
Oh, and there's you. So quick to pull the trigger. Okay, you want to know why you would never be a good general manager?
I'm too emotional.
Exactly.
I agree.
A really good general manager can't be a fan.
No, I agree.
You have to be a business person. You have to look at it. You have to somehow, even if you have emotion about it, have to move it aside and be a talent evaluator, a position evaluator, and what's best for the organization, regardless of the name that's put in front of you.
By the way, you mentioned Bryce Harper. He is now the first or the youngest major leaguer to have two home runs in the first game of the season.
Great talent. Great talent. But that's one of the keys to being in. You know, I don't care whether it's the NFL, the NHL, the NBA, or Major League Baseball. You have to have no emotion as you figure out what you want to do. You can't form an emotional attachment to what's going on around you. You can't. If you do, you'll make one poor decision after another. I mean, take for example, and I'll go back to the Troy Polamalu example. Kevin's the GM. He's figuring out a way to keep him in the organization for life.
Yes.
Somehow, some way. Whether it's as a coach or an assistant to the GM, something. Okay? Okay. Now, if he goes through another year like he's had, if I'm the Steelers, I have to look at my cap room and so forth as to what he means. And if it means the best for the organization to move him on, he may end up wearing a Baltimore Ravens jersey next year. You know, a year from now. Which would rip your guts out.
Oh, that'd be painful.
But the player has to do what he thinks is best for him. And the GM has to do what is best for the organization.
I still say if I'm the GM, I figure out a way to pay his salary or come up with something agreeable.
Kevin,
and have him willingly become a coach.
You can't. That's the fan in you. You can't
do it. I realize it's
you
not logical.
You can't do it.
It doesn't. Sometimes I think you should be able. You should do that because it's the right thing to do.
No, only if the player is ready to retire.
All right, but maybe you have to talk to him about it.
Talk to him about what? The player probably still believes he can play.
Depend if he plays as much as he did last year. I don't think he'd have. I mean, even a player that really wants to play is realistic.
Really?
I would hope.
Really?
But if you play four games a season for two seasons, I mean, what makes you think you're going to play more the next year?
They don't want to believe their body's betraying them. When that body has produced so many spectacular plays in the field in a career.
Maybe.
Look at all the guys that have moved around. Brian Dawkins, how uncomfortable was it for Eagles fans to see him as a Denver Bronco? John Lynch, Tampa Bay, Denver. You're going to see Brian Urlacher wear a different jersey this year. James Harrison's going to wear a different jersey.
Well, it's like you always say, it's another reason not to worry about the name on the back.
Well, but again, to be really good at that job, you have to take the emotion and you have to push it aside. Now, is it foolproof? No, they make mistakes. They make judgment mistakes. Left and right. That's why shows like these criticize them when they make those judgment mistakes. I'm telling you right now, I'm the general manager of the Phillies. I struggle mightily over the Cole Hamels contract last summer. Big struggle for me. Not because of emotion, but whether I'm going to give a pitcher that much time and that much money. One after another, I've seen one example after another of long-term contracts. Oh, right. Because arms are too babied these days and too tender. Durability is not what it once was. It's not like handing the ball to Jim Bunn and saying we'll get 300 innings. I'm going to hand the ball to Louis Tiant. And if he's going to give me 160 pitches in a night, he will give me 160. It's different. And that's why Kevin Camp could never be a general manager. Too emotionally attached to the club.
Unless I'm the general manager of the Ravens.
No, you're
then
too.
Then it's not a problem.
You'd still be too emotionally attached.
Then it's not a problem.
We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Playing right field, it's easy, you know. You can be awkward, you can be slow. That's why I'm here in right field, just watching the dandelions grow.
Oh, boy.
I dug that up for Peter, Paul, and Mary, and I thought, huh, wow, now there's a baseball song I can relate to.
Well, I'd coach it. And I did have at times in the T-ball level, a little picking at dandelions in the outfield.
That's right.
Bobby, okay, pay attention.
Game's in here.
Game's here, and guess what? The ball might get hit toward you, and, you know, you get hit, I got a problem.
It's when your shortstop's picking dandelions when you really have to worry.
I was worried about him getting hurt. That was me. I was always worried about them getting hurt if they were picking dandelions or not paying attention. Not about whether they could make a play. I just didn't want them to get hurt, especially that young. I was always concerned about that.
It's really bad when you're in the senior division and you're watching your right field pick dandelions.
Well, enough of your kid. Let's move on.
I didn't say it was mine. I just said.
Only one kid anyway.
What's that?
You only watch one kid anyway.
No. Actually, that's... Okay.
Now, who is on your fantasy team this year?
I don't know. There's 800 guys. I can't remember them all.
Come on.
Come
you
on, do,
you
man.
Know all. You know all this stuff. Yeah, I mean, your life's a fantasy camp.
Listen, fantasy baseball is not my strength. I'm a much better fantasy football player.
Who did you pick to be on your fantasy baseball team? You're telling everybody you didn't join a fantasy baseball league?
I didn't say that. I did
Who's
not
on your
say
team?
That.
Who's on your team?
Let's see. My starting cat. Let's see. Kadire's at first.
Okay.
Eckley's at second.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Espinosa's my shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Fowler's in the outfield. Mm-hmm. Hunter Pence is in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
Willingham's the DH, or will be. Mm-hmm. Didn't start mm-hmm. the week. I have Adam Dunn on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Lowry on the bench right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Kennedy is one of my pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
I also have R.A. Dickey as one of my pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
Chad Billingsley, when he finally gets off the DL, will be a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Veras, Betancourt, Estrada, who's actually a reliever or a starter. She can play him in either spot. So he's getting two starts next week as a reliever. So that's bonus points there. That's pretty much the, you know, the meat of the lineup there.
You're going to lose.
All right. Well, that is already set in stone.
I mean, is that a
game wow. over?
I mean, it's even worse than I thought.
When does football start? That's when I start to get into my wheelhouse.
You didn't win last year either.
I finished second.
So do you have playoffs?
No, it's a points league, so you got money. That's all that really matters.